Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We just want everybody to know at the top of this episode of Caravan of Garbage that you are all responsible for this series of films we are looking at.
Oh, people voted for this, right? They demanded it. Wow.
We're going to start with the first three. We're going to see how we go.
Yep.
Of course, beginning with Transformers 2007, and if people could leave a like, that would be fantastic. But before we get into the movie itself, I just want to get a little bit of background on your love for the Transformers franchise, Mason. Mine is undisputed. I'm the biggest fan in the world.
Oh my goodness.
I don't have to prove my credentials.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, I growing up, I love Transformers. And I know it was just, the cartoon was just
a cartoon?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think so.
I mean, there was a 30-minute ad. Maybe that's what you're thinking of for Transformers toys. But I love the Transformers toys. And, you know, some of them design-wise, some were kind of cheap and tacky, sure. But some were, like, design-wise, just incredible. Mm. And I got as many as I could. But the one that I probably love the most, and I still have a few laying around my house, is Optimus Prime.
Mm.
You know, because the leader of the Transformers, because he's obviously, you know, strong and brave, but he's also selfless, and he's caring, and he's compassionate.
Sometimes
and
he's
most
dead.
Importantly of all, he's a bright red mid-1970s cab over engine White's Freightliner, obviously, because the only true mark of a real hero is you got to have a signature look.
So true.
And for years as I was growing up, I remember, you know, people would be like, there's a live action Transformers in the works.
Mm.
So exciting, right?
Technologically, just, like, we're there now, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean?
And every time I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get to see Optimus Prime on the big screen. And then I remember,
he's going to wave to me, Nick Mason.
When I went into the cinemas and I remember, He first rolls up into that screen, and I remember the entire audience stood up as one, and they went, oh my God, a Peterbilt 379, are you kidding me? Actually, that's not true. That didn't actually happen. But at the same time, I can tell you within my heart and soul that if Optimus Prime in the movies looked like Optimus Prime in the cartoons, I would forgive all the nonsense. I would watch the 15 hours of Transformers movies, whatever it is,
yeah.
I mean,
there are nods to it in other films
I would forgive, you know, the majority main characters that are just screaming lunatics.
Yep.
I would forgive the fact that all the Decepticons look exactly the same.
Yeah.
I would forgive the fact that you can't tell what's happening in any of the action sequences because everything is happening all the time.
I would argue a lot of those issues are lessened in this first movie.
Oh yeah, for
sure.
This
is very watchable.
It's pretty watchable.
Yeah.
But again, if I would forgive all those if Optimus Prime looked like he did in the cartoon. But he doesn't. He looks like a Monster energy drink. That's what he looks like.
Yes. What about if they made Megatron change into a little handgun?
Oh, speaking of that as well, I don't know if you remember, there was a teaser trailer for this movie that came out.
The one
before.
On Mars?
I think it's on the moon.
I think it's Mars. I think it's a Mars rover.
It's a Mars rover, and it's surveying the landscape with its camera, and then you see it's knocked over, and then the silhouette is very obviously Generation 1 Megatron.
Yeah, right.
Like the one that does turn into a gun. But in this, what is he? He's a weird rusty skeleton.
Well, they did change his look a little bit due to some fan outcry. They changed the face, but I don't think it's any closer to the look. You can't deny, like, how great the special effects are in this movie.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, from a technical perspective,
yeah,
sure.
I do want to get into the design elements of this film that I don't love as much. But yeah, it is an absolute technical marvel, which hadn't really been seen at the time. And one of the first things I noticed about rewatching this for the first time in years, because these movies are exhausting and I try to stay away yep. from them, is that the sound design is amazing. It's so, like, the clinking and the clanking and the way that they work in the original sounds from the 80s TV
uh-huh,
show,
sure.
you know, and all those
but
kinds of
things.
But
there's also so much of it.
But again,
there's
I think that's...
never a quiet moment
but
in
I
this
think
movie.
That's something that kind of isn't so bad in this one.
Mm.
I think, like, when that...
Also, in the tradition of the Transformers movies, I'm going to keep yelling over the top of you.
But you know that idea when at the start when that helicopter rolls in and they're like, what kind of helicopter is this?
That's a great action sequence.
It's fantastic. And when it transforms and you get that original sound and it just starts mowing people down, it's so good.
Yeah.
And the blades are like just kind of dangling off the back and it just looks amazing.
If only the rest of the movie were like that.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
No.
And I also like some of the little changes that they made, like they've got a little holographic pilot or driver in the vehicles, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
I'm sure that's something that's probably happened in various incarnations.
Sometimes it's a hologram, sometimes it's like a pop-up, like a crash dummy man that comes out of the seat.
Like from Men in Black 3, that movie I don't think you've seen.
No.
Might have been 2. Yeah. I guess we can talk human characters because that is the majority of this film.
Yep.
So Shia LaBeouf, he's a teenage boy.
Yep.
He's as golden as the day is long. He just wants a car and a girlfriend, and he just wants to, I don't know, he needs to tone his anxiety down by about 20.
Why have you opened by talking about the sidekick and not the main character, Megan Fox's Michaela Baines?
It is kind of baffling that she's not the main character.
She is. She's like capable and skilled.
Yep.
And she's got like a character arc and a backstory that is something because she had a dad in prison and that's how she learned her skills.
She's fitter, I think.
She's definitely fitter.
She could outrun him.
She makes the choice at the end to be like, we're going back into the battle kind of thing. The movie should be called Michaela Baines and her sweaty, flailing sidekick.
Well, there's the thing about a lot of these Transformer movies. And Bumblebee is the exception also to a lot of
these. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
Including the Optimus Prime problem that you have. But there's three main characters in these movies. There's stoic military guy.
Yep.
There's stuttering, insufferable idiot. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of people.
Yes.
And then there's chicks. Like, kind of the breakdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like in a lot of situations, maybe even Michael Bay wanted, you know, chicks to be the main character.
Sure.
But he felt like, well, it's a movie about cars and it's about guns and shooting or whatever. So
and boys loves Transformers.
And people won't be able to accept that. So I'll just shunt her off to the side.
Yeah.
And then I'll just make some idiot the main character.
And eventually, like, she does leave the series, which we will talk about in a later movies, the story behind that. But on the whole, I still find this one, there's a bit too much going on in it. It's too long, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
For the things going
on. And yet, aside from Bumblebee, it's the shortest of the Transformers movies.
Baffling.
Right?
Because you've got the Scorpion chases Tad Hamilton and his friends through the desert,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I think would make a great movie by itself, being stalked by a Decepticon through the desert, like Pitch Black-esque. Like
Predator style.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Uh-huh.
You've got kind of Shia LaBeouf dicking around looking for glasses and trying to grift people for money and whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And getting wrapped up in this plot.
And then being pursued by John Turturro.
Yeah, that's
Toots.
Right. The Toots. And then you've got kind of boring government hacking satellite crap. We're just looking at feeds of signals and shots of planes taking off and flying through the air and mainframes and all this kind of shit. This like sweeping shots of the military, which is just, it's not, like, take that out, please.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Of those three, that one should go.
Mm.
But here's the thing, though. It can't go because Michael Bay gets all his military equipment for free if he does some military promotion. So,
well, that's right. Exactly.
But you can't get rid of the cars because you get free. Yeah. Apparently, they got 200 free cars in this movie from General Motors.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And they trashed a lot of them. Speaking of the military, though, if people were worried, it actually cost the taxpayers nothing because, like you said, anything that's not considered an army drill, which they use for this movie, he pays for all the ammunition and the explosions and all the fuel and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So if you're thinking your US tax dollars are going to waste, I mean, they are, but just not for this.
Sure. Yeah.
Big government, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You better believe it. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Bumblebee, obviously, in the cartoons, he was always a Volkswagen. In this, he's a Camaro.
I saw an interview with Michael Bay where he's like, he will never be a bug. It'll look like Herbie the Love Bug. I'll shoot myself before I make him a bug.
I was just going to say Herbie. Like, who remembers Herbie?
Nobody. Well, there was a... When was Herbie fully loaded?
Maybe it was the previous year. I don't know. But, but like, that's not the reason. It's the reason is General Motors gave you all the free cars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason that was given for Optimus Prime not looking like he did in the cartoons is because apparently they wanted to make Optimus Prime the largest and most imposing Autobot.
Yes.
And
10,108 moving parts.
Oh my goodness, that's too many. And the reason that he couldn't transform into the cartoon classic model is because that would mean the robot version of him was too small, so they needed a bigger truck.
Sure.
And he was apparently on record as saying, we're not going to do anything dumb like size changing in this movie. which makes a lot of sense, except when you consider that the whole plot device of this movie is like a cube the size of a house that that shrinks down to the size that a flailing man of an
American football.
Exactly.
So you can get a touchdown for America.
And even then, maybe if you're like, well, the plot device can shrink, but nothing else can shrink. Just put his legs in the trailer then.
Again,
which you didn't give him. I will never give up on this.
You could have made him 100 feet tall with that trailer.
Right?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because they wanted to make him bigger, and this was the difference. Mm-hmm. If they did the original design, he would have been 20 feet tall. Mm. With the changed design, he was 22 feet tall.
Worth it.
So you really feel it, don't you?
Worth it to turn him into a Guy Fieri truck, absolutely.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Who, by the way, he does a lot of great charity work.
Seems like a
Gets
very nice
a lot
man.
Of flack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully he's not cancelled the week that this goes out. But as of recording, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just, these designs, and again, this is a problem later on because they're much harder to distinguish, with their spindly crab faces and they're just grey. I'm talking about Decepticons specifically. They're just grey monsters just kind of jaggedly running about.
And it's difficult to determine in any given action sequence which ones have been destroyed, which ones are still left, where they are on the battlefield, because they all look the same and they can all turn into anything.
Yeah.
Which is a difference from the cartoon where every Transformer was assigned a specific vehicle mode and they couldn't change out of that vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, if a Decepticon wants to be a tank and then become a police car and then become a helicopter, they can just do it. So oftentimes you're like, did that guy die or is he...
It's a different guy.
Well,
it's also confusing with the merch as well and also the names of the characters in this because they use some of the Constructicons, but then Devastator turns up in the next movie and those get destroyed in this. Also, apparently that fighter jet, which is taking out the fighter jets above the city, that's a pretty amazing sequence. It might not be Starscream. It might be just somebody else. Well, I saw some behind-the-scenes stuff.
I have a note here. Mm. This is a little behind-the-scenes little thing. It says, and it's pretty simple, so... Mm. You'll be able to keep up.
Okay.
Sandway was going to appear in the film, disguised as an MH-53 Pavlo helicopter. Later, the copter was renamed Blackout, and then Sandway was going to be a Celine Mustang automobile. However, the Hasbro company requested that a music player, Sandwave's original alternate mode from the Transformers cartoon, be in the film, so the Celine was renamed Barricade, and the music player robot appeared as Barricade's partner. However, the writers felt the role did not give Sandwave justice, so they renamed the music player Frenzy after Sandwave's minion. Sandwave himself would appear in the next two films.
He's the satellite or whatever.
Yeah, he's the satellite guy, maybe. I don't know.
He's got the best voice. He's got a great design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of voices,
yes.
Peter Cullen's back.
Yes.
And that's terrific. There is one other original voice actor that appears.
And it's not Megatron.
No. We'll talk about that, but it's Charlie Adler. He voices Starscream in this, mm-hmm. and he does various other voices from the 80s. They went to Frank Welker initially, but he...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Thought the voice wasn't menacing enough, so then they switched to Hugo Weaving. And before Peter Cullen, they were thinking of also Liam Neeson.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, which I think would have worked in a version like this.
I have a very particular set of skills. I can turn into a truck. I feel Cullen gets he gets some bad lines to say in this. Push the cube in my chest. He says that as an example.
He didn't even tell Shia LaBeouf to push it into Megatron's chest to kill him. Like, what if it gave him more power or something?
You're right?
Yeah. Ridiculous. Just quickly on the Liam Neeson thing, they worked in some Liam Neeson-esque mannerisms into Optimus Prime. Because, you know, Liam Neeson's is 100 foot tall, or 22 feet tall in real life. We should talk about the work, though, that ILM and Digital Domain did for these movies. Because, I mean, full credit also to the on-set stuff that they do, because so much of the pyrotechnics and the tearing down of buildings and the bit where the bus splits in two and one of the Transformers flies through it.
Uh-huh.
That's practical stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They rigged a bus to tear in half. And then they obviously added the Transformer later using digital effects. Digital effects. I just think the merging of real life stuff and CGI, it's incredible.
I feel like this movie gave the visual effects enough time to shine in this.
Yes.
Whereas we actually see, you know, a helicopter turn into a robot in it, you know, in a solid amount of time. You can really sort of luxuriate in it. Whereas in the later movies, they just
spinning cubes.
There's a lot of spinning cubes. There's a huge amount of Transformers transforming off screen.
Yeah.
There's a portent for things to come earlier in this movie where Bumblebee's first transformation on Earth is off camera.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You get some more in later, but
that's expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's not what you want to waste money on in a Transformers movie, transforming effects.
No, you're probably right. One thing that I just think drags way too long on in this movie, it's like the extended hijinks and gags that go on. And I think a perfect example of that is where Shia LaBeouf comes home and he's going to be grounded because he's 3 minutes late. And the Autobots are kind of stumbling around the backyard. And then they're like, are you masturbating, Shia LaBeouf? And he's like, oh, Mum. And Optimus Prime is outside like a dog's pissing on someone.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's just lunacy.
Yeah, they're pushing lamps over.
Yeah. There is one funny...
You've been doing this for millions of years, Autobots. You've been fighting a war against the Decepticons for millions of years. And your whole deal is that you have this ultimate camouflage.
Yeah.
You've been designed and then evolved into this perfect system, and you're like, should we transform into the very common vehicles on this planet and park where they would normally be? Nope. Let's just play hide and seek against a wall in robot form in full view of street lamps. Why not? We're absolute dumbasses. Yeah, it's like a Three Stooges routine.
And I think the worst part of it is that it's not funny at all.
Oh,
and
I'm sure it was hilarious.
Look, whenever we criticize...
Just kidding.
That
was a joke.
Yes. Whenever we criticize these...
I learned how to do it from Michael Bay movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's why you're not good at it. Got ya!
Aww.
But whenever we criticize these movies, they obviously have their defenders. Mm. Because I think a lot of these movies do well is because they have international appeal. And I think that it's scenes like this where you can take it to any audience in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, you get it. It's wacky hijinks. I think there's one joke that works. In the five movies,
yes.
The Michael Bay ones.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to save it because it's not this week.
Oh.
Will it be next week? Yes, it's next week.
This is very exciting.
But
All right.
But every other joke just falls flat and it's just a stuttering idiot. Speaking of, Ben requested that he does a no, Shia LaBeouf compilation.
Oh, that's very exciting.
We might do it weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we make him do a very complex montage, right. But he's offered up himself this week.
He's the Stockholm Syndrome has finally kicked in and he's like, maybe I should make things difficult for myself. But that's exciting. Yeah, I think the downward slide of this movie starts as soon as the Transformers start talking.
Yeah, maybe.
And they introduce themselves with a single line that proves that they've got a cool personality.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Speaking of talking.
I don't like personalities. I don't care for them. They should all be stoic.
I agree.
Yeah,
especially Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of, though, one thing that wears thin for me incredibly quickly is Bumblebee talking through the radio.
Yeah.
Because I know about you, and it is more of a problem in later movies, but I can't follow what he's saying easily. It's all cut up in snippets and I don't for the life of me, why did they keep this thing that they also fix at the end of this movie
and then bring it back?
And then I know they explain it away again in the next movie, but there's later again explanations for it in movies more down the line.
We wanted to sell more toys. That's what they say, actual line from the movie.
To their credit for the Bumblebee design, that look in robot form at least has been adopted a lot of places and I think has become, for a lot of people, the definitive look of that character.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's a terrible design at all. I think that faceplate is quite good. I mean, Those G1s are like, for me, like that's yeah, where it's at.
But here's the thing. Could you draw any of the other ones from memory?
What I could do, yes. I could take a pile of sticks and I could spray paint them silver and then break them all up and drop them in a pile.
Perfect.
And that would work, wouldn't it?
Nice. The Decepticon army. I love it.
I also think it's very strange that this movie ends with the two lead characters, Megan Fox and her sidekick, just making out on Bumblebee, who's a sentient creature.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It'd be like at the end of, oh, I don't know, The Neverending Story. They're just making out on top Falco, of the dog or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's not like a horse where he doesn't know what's going on. Right. And they're kissing on a horse.
Sure.
He knows what's going on because he's trying to get him a date or something.
Yep.
Why is he even doing any of that? There's Decepticons and stuff.
Well, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I guess it is cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
My problem with this movie is...
Yes, go on.
That I like it. I do like it on the whole. It's exhausting because of everything else I've seen, as mentioned. But what I don't like about this one is I'm seeing a lot of the seeds for the things that I hate in these movies that are then expanded upon in future installments.
A man is peed upon by a robot.
Yes, that's right.
An award-winning actor is peed upon by a robot.
And you can't fault any of the people in these movies because, hey man, you probably get a lot of money for this.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
John Malkovich is in one of them.
What?
Patrick Dempsey's in one of them.
Is Malkovich in any Coen Brothers movies?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably a cowboy. Also, I put the blame on this movie for, obviously, the Transformer movies that follow. But then things like your Battle LA, you know, that movie with Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
You know, your Battleships, your G.I. Joe movies. The first one, I think, is fine from memory.
Yeah.
But I know...
Just spinning walls of metal.
That's right, exactly.
I mean, and this movie does look... It looks great. It looks beautiful. It's very crisp.
It is.
You know it's just crisp, but just with a wall of debris in every scene.
And look, I know a lot of people give J.J. Abrams flack for using lens flares. This is lens flare city, mate.
Oh, this one.
But look, I know what you're thinking, and I know the viewers are also thinking this, right? Because often we'll put in a segment on trivia.
Oh, yes.
We've pulled back on that a little bit because if we don't name every bit of trivia, we get harassed. Bearing in mind that just because we don't say a thing doesn't mean that we don't know it. Or...
Disagree.
Or we think it's not interesting and we don't include it. But you might be thinking, what happened to Trent DeMarco?
I'm personally thinking, who's Trent DeMarco? Is he related to Mac DeMarco? Because I love that guy.
I don't know who that is, but yes.
Okay.
Okay, so Trent DeMarco plays Megan Fox's boyfriend.
Oh.
Who she's very in love with and sees how awful. And then all of a sudden he's like, you can't drive the car. And then she's like, I've had enough of this guy. Mm-hmm. Even though the scene before she's like hugging him and she's like, I love your big muscles. There's another bit that's not funny just quickly. You know the bit where Shia LaBeouf is showing his muscles?
Yes.
I thought like, oh, he's doing a bit. Because she'll turn around and be like, great bit, Shia LaBeouf. But he's like genuinely, he's doing that thing.
Yeah.
But anyway. Trent DeMarco, this is from his Wikipedia page.
This is Trent, but this is the character.
Yes.
Okay.
Trent DeMarco is the stereotypical jock. He's on the football team, brackets tight end.
Don't mind if I do.
Has big arms and washboard abs.
Oh, hello.
Has a sweet ride, has a smoking hot girlfriend, and hates nerds. Brutal, right?
Right.
This guy's, he speaks to me, you know what I mean? If there's any character in this movie that I relate to the most, it's Trent DeMarco.
Isn't it the Mountain Dew vending machine that comes to life? Surely that would be your point of view character.
Some of that, all that spindly little creep skulking around, but the character also appears in the movie Friday the 13th, the reboot in 2009, and is killed by Jason Voorhees. Meaning, technically, that movie is set within the Transformers-averse.
Oh, my God.
That's right. The Transformers-averse shared universe has more connections than you may think upon first glance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Got any other stuff you want to say?
We didn't really talk about Bernie Mac, R.I.P., as the great
car salesman. Then there's two good jokes, because he does... I'll bust your head with a rock joke.
He threatens his wife,
I think it's his mom or grandma.
Yeah, okay, right. Uh-huh.
I enjoyed that.
Uh-huh. And we didn't really mention Australia's own Rachel Taylor as one of the three teen hacker team.
Sure.
But honestly, that's part of the thing you could have cut out. Replace him with one line.
Yeah.
Sorry, Australia's own Rachel Taylor.
Yeah.
But just we arrested some hacker and they said it could be aliens.
Mm.
That's it.
And it was.
It was aliens, right?
In the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll be back next week for Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. a movie I've seen once, but remember being excruciating.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it's definitely the worst one. It's not the weirdest one,
no,
but it's the worst one.
Yeah, so we'll be back for that. I'm not looking forward to it, if I'm honest.
I kind of am, because I have not seen it since cinemas. Well, I swore off rewatching any of these after that one, so, and they've dragged me back in.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. That movie, and we'll talk about it next week, it's peak Michael Bay in terms of power.
Yeah, right.
It's also in the middle of the writer's strike.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, no.
And it's just this perfect storm of swirling metal and lack of writing and thought put into things in this beautiful package. I was going to say beautiful tight package, but it's not tight. It's
like a real tight end.
That's right. So look, subscribe and come back next week if you do want to see that, because there's videos here all the goddamn time. And if you want these early, in addition to the extended versions of this, you can actually go to bigsandwich.co. We've got a service there if you want to sign up. Every week you'll get them early. And you'll love it, maybe.
And bonus podcasts and other things.
Other early videos.
Mm-hmm.
Movie commentaries.
That's right.
By us, specifically.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe should have
left. So if you're expecting, you know, Michael Bay or something to just be us.
He's busy making...
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at those abs.
Wow. That's a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see you guys next week for... What? Transformers.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you then.
This is not a good idea.
That's the best idea. Best idea anyone's ever had.
Mm.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.